I do love Jesus more, you know.
That's
a command. If I'm going to love her right, I got to love Christ more, you know. And so, you know, we've been talking about the building of the church, and as I drew these out as pillars on purpose, because in the house of God, we're going to, if you overcome, you will be a pillar in the house of God. In fact, there's a promise that's given to us in the Revelation, chapter 3, verse 1 through 13. If y'all turn to there, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you so much. As we look into your word, into your righteousness, Lord, I pray that you would again help me to step aside. I thank you, Father, for already meeting us here this morning during Sunday school through the study of your word, as you're preparing us for the days and the times that we will face. Lord, help our faith grow. Help us to know truth, the one truth that is Christ Jesus. Help your truth to live in us, that we would abide in you. And Lord, we thank you for that. I pray that as we get into this teaching over the next few weeks about unity and about fellowship, about truly being a part of the converted body of Christ, born out of darkness and into your marvelous light, I pray that you would move over us and draw us, knit us closer together as a body. Father, that if there be any schisms, let them just be wiped out completely, that we could have the oneness of heart, soul, and mind bound together through the Spirit and the Son and the Father. And we thank you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Revelation, Jesus is talking to us, to the church, and he's giving us some hope. Who needs a little bit of hope here? Who wants to really be in the building of God? The church, the building of God. I do. I do. And he has a promise for us in chapter 3, verses 1 through 13 that says, "And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy work perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Caledonia," sorry, says Sardis, "even in the town that you're in," all right, in Sardis, "which hath not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before the Father and his angels. He who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church." I must have wrote the wrong scripture down there, because he says that he'll make us, I didn't. It is still further. I thought I was at the end of the chapter in verse 6, and I'm not. Sorry. "And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write these things, saith the holy, he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the whole world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast to that which thou hast, that no man
take away, take thy crown. Him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. A lot of things I read over there. Overcomer kept coming up. Something else that I know why I read the first part of chapter 3 is the call that I got when I came to Caledonia is to strengthen those things which remain that are ready to die. The church is sick. The church is sick. Amen. Because we've been taught false doctrine for a long time. Our job as Christians is to get people back to the firm foundation where we will not be deceived. There is an hour coming, and there's an hour that is right now that there is a deception going on all over the earth. But the one who overcomes is the one who is grounded and sealed, and no man can take you away. You can't be taken away by somebody else. But he is a warning in here. If you are not an overcomer, and how do you become an overcomer? You believe and follow what the Word of God says. That's what makes you an overcomer. It's not a works that you do, but it's the works that Christ does in you. And you believe those works to the time of the conversion of the heart and the soul into the image of the Most High God. I believe those things. These pillars that will really secure us in the building of Christ. Now, I want to be secure. I want to be like these folks that will be a pillar in the house of God, and I will no longer be out of it. I can't be taken out of it. There's nothing in heaven or earth or no devil in hell that's going to take me away from the security I have in Christ Jesus. Now, in that security, I need to know that I am saved. This is the first pillar of the house of God. When you come to all of this stuff and you know that the foundation is the Word of God and it cannot be moved, I need to set my life on the security of my foundation, of the security of salvation. That's the first pillar in my heart. I know I'm saved. I know it. How do I know it? Because God speaks to me. I hear His voice. All right? And since I know the truth, where else can I go? When Jesus told the disciples that had received the bread and the fish, and he went over to Capernaum to the other side, and he said, "This is my body, you got to eat it. This is my blood, you got to drink it." And a lot of the disciples said, "This is a hard saying, who can hear it?" And a lot of people left. Well, Peter, Jesus asked, "Will you too leave?" Excuse me. And Peter said, "Where else can I go? You have the words of truth. Where else can I go? There's no other place that I can have this foundation. There's no other place where I can be sure and seated and concreted into truth than with the Savior of the world. Where else can I go?" That's how I know I'm in this building. And I pray that you can have that confidence too, that your faith not be soon shaken by the things that are going on. This first pillar of knowing that you are saved. You know that you're saved, and here are some reasons that you know you're saved. After that, we have prayer. If you are truly converted into Christ, if you're really born again, you have a desire to pray. I want to talk with God. I do. I want to talk with, as much as I love talking, and anybody who knows me knows I love to gab, right? As much as I love to talk, I would rather talk with Jesus. I would rather sit down at His Word. I'd rather talk to Him in prayer. I'd rather listen to what He has to say to me and make adjustments in my life. I want to spend those hours in prayer with Him. The song that we sang, I go to the garden alone. And the voice I hear is sweet. It's special in my ear. And nobody has ever known. Right? Those things, oh man. I love to spend time with God. That's how I know I'm converted. I want to walk in holiness. My heart's desire is to be holy because He's holy. My heart's desire is to be loyal to the Word of God.
That's how I know I'm converted. That's how I know that there's coming a day that I will be an overcomer, because I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. Right, Tom? Yeah. You going to fight it with me?
Yeah.
How about you, Kevin? You going to fight it? How about you, Nance? You going to fight it? You going to fight the good fight of faith? Joshua, you going to do it? And nothing is going to get in my way to prevent me from doing that. Why? Because I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to stand on the foundations of Jesus Christ. I'm going to stand in the righteousness of God. I'm going to try to be holy. Where the Word of God says, this is sin, and if that thing is in me, I'm going to do my best through the power of God to learn how to die to it, that I might live to Him. Amen? That is holiness. It's a continual sanctification. I'm not sanctified yet on the earth. I'm already sanctified in the heavenlies, right? And as I walk through this world, God shows me the sin that's in my life, and He teaches me how to handle it, how to die to it. And I become more and more and more into the image of Jesus Christ from day to day, from walk to walk. And as I do that through the unctioning of the Holy Spirit and the written Word of God, as I make those adjustments, as you make those adjustments in your life, then you have a promise from God that He will that He will make you one of these pillars in the house of God. Did you believe that God has a new name for you, Doug? Now, I dig Doug, right? Get it? All right. I like the name I have, but I have a better name coming. It's the name of the city of God. It's the name of the Father. It's the name of the Son. And I will be as firm in that building as I walk in unity with Christ and the body. Right? I walk in holiness. I strive for perfection in this life. Now, anybody who knows me knows I ain't perfect. And if you think I am, ask my wife. No, I'm probably closer than anybody you know, but no.
Sorry about that.
And I'm really proud of my humility. I'm
in the heavenlies I am. On the earth I am not. I have arrogance and pride. I have an anger problem, right? There are times I look at things I should not look at, right? And I'm not talking about pornography or nothing like that. Sometimes I watch YouTube building things. I'm stuck on Forged on Fire. Forged in Fire, you ever see that? Where they take metal and they heat it up and they build things out of it. I like that. All right. I do. I like that. It's a waste of time because I'll never have a forge. I really don't want one. I don't want to be burned by metal. I'm sorry, I'm chasing this rabbit down a little bit. I tried cutting metal with fire one time. Have you ever tried that with a cutting torch? All right, well, I was in my house, and I was cutting some metal out for the fireplace, right, because it's an old fireplace. We're going to put a new one in. So I'm scooched underneath it, and I'm cutting the metal out with the torch, and all of a sudden, this big old glob of molting steel falls on my lap. Burns through my pants. Burns into my leg. I put out the torch, and I gave it back to who I got it from. You know, and I said, much as I appreciate this, I don't want to use it no more. If you didn't know, that burned, and it burned a bit. So I'm not there yet. And as I did that, I said some choice words that a pastor should not say. All right? There was some...
That's why we need a new name.
Yeah.
Because we've dragged this name.
Amen.
Through the mud.
Yes. Amen. You're right. And so I'm just letting you know that, to let you know I have not made it there yet. In fact, none of us have made it here yet. But I have a promise from God that He will put me as a pillar in the house of God. My job is to strengthen those things that remain. All right? I know your works. They're not perfect. Praise God for that. My works are not perfect. But there's coming a day where true perfection will be on me. And my name, amen. Pastor Curtis Fitz, floor installer Curtis Fitz, plumber Curtis Fitz, that's what I was earlier this weekend, you know, that isn't going to matter anymore. I'm going to have a new name. It's going to be the name of the holy city. It's going to be the name of the Father. It's going to be the name of the Son. And it will be written on me, this pillar that is in the house of God that never goes out again. The glory of the city coming down. And I'll be part. Those who are really converted will be part of that. Amen? And I say truly converted because there's folks that think they're saved and they're not. But the truly converted, the truly one, the ones that are really, will become a pillar in the house of God. And so that's why I drew these as pillars. The next pillar we're going to be looking at is fellowship and unity. How, when I love the brethren, God's pleased. In fact, he tells us that in Psalm 133, right? And he says, "Behold, how good and pleasant." Amen. Behold how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. When God says how good and pleasant, who wants to be, for him to look at you, Tom or Dave or Bonnie, right? And he says, that is good and pleasant. That, Nancy, good and pleasant. Why? Because you're living in unity with the brethren. The Sunday school that we had this morning, if you weren't part of it and you may have heard it from the outside, it might have sounded contentious. It wasn't contentious. It was great. It was wonderful. It was bodybuilding. It was strengthening. Amen? It was iron against iron, knocking off the rough spots. What we're talking about is the deception that's coming into the world. Who here knows that you're being deceived? Amen? And this is just the beginning of the deception. But we have a promise from God that we are in truth. And as long as we are in truth, we will not be deceived. And I think it is glorious when the body of Christ comes together and we discuss these things, we have our differences, and we love each other. And all of us that were in part of this, in that discussion, knows that nobody has it perfectly right.
Right.
We're looking through a glass dimly. Amen. But a little further on, a little further down the road, we'll see it more clearly. Amen? I will see him face to face. I'll see him. Seek his face, not his hand. Amen? Seek for wisdom, not... I was going to say not for knowledge. Well, knowledge puffs up, right? Don't look for, I know things that makes me better than other people. Look for wisdom so I can take the things I know, apply them to my life, and live a holy and righteous
life. It's knowledge of the truth.
Thank you, my brother. Knowledge of the truth. Yeah. And so in those things, to be an overcomer in Christ's house, to be an overcomer, one of the things we have to have is to the unity and the fellowship with Christ inside of the body of Christ, which is the building of Christ. We're being conformed into his image. Amen. We are living stones, it tells us in 1 Peter. We're living stones being conformed. Amen. And part of that conforming is that this old, ugly, out of shape rock right here, God's carving me and cutting the stuff off of me that I can nudge up right next to Justin over here and we fit together, right? He takes the old stuff off of me and takes the old stuff off of him. His hard spots, my hard spots, he doesn't have nearly as many as I do, but he takes his, me and Kevin, me and Tom, me and Doug, me and Debbie, my wife, right? God is constantly taking my hard spots and knocking them and taking her hard spots and knocking them that we could be joined together in unity of mind and spirit and body. And that unity is one of the sureties that we have that we will be in as pillars in the temple of God. Because we love the brethren, right? We're going to be talking a lot about that over the next few weeks. The holiness and the righteousness of God. If you'll flip your Bible over to Acts chapter 4, we're going to look at some scripture here. And again, I say this a lot. If you're on the radio and you're listening and you're at a place and your teacher, your pastor, doesn't say turn your Bible over to a certain place and read along with me, come here. Amen. Find a different church. Amen. Because if he ain't teaching out of the Word of God, you're being misled. Amen? So there's a lot in Acts chapter 4, but speaking of unity, we're going to pull all the way down to 31 through the end of the chapter. So Acts chapter 4, starting in 31. And this is about unity here. And when they had prayed, the place, go home and read all of chapter 4, all right? But let you know that there was a time that they were doing some things in the church, there were some things happening, and then they came together and they started to pray. And this is the unity that was in the church. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things which were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and the passing it out was made unto every man according to his need. All right? Check out the unity that's here. All right? There was a thing that was going on in the church. Church, this is the very first church. This was the seed of the church. This is the very beginning of the, church. There was a church in the wilderness. So this is the beginning of the New Testament church, which is the same as the Old Testament church, only different. Right? Yeah.
It's similar, but not the same.
Yeah, it's an thank you.
I think this is where they started meeting together. Yes. Places to get into the scripture.
Amen. Right. This is when some things start. And so and the multitude, 32, and the multitude of them believed were of one heart. Amen. And one soul. Amen. All right. And as one heart and one soul, if I see that Justin had a need and I had an abundance, or if I had even not enough, I could give out of my lack. Justin had a need, you know what? I gave to his need so that he didn't lack and I didn't lack. And then we would take what we had, and we'd see Tom has a need, and we'd take that and we'd freely offer that in the body of Christ, that there was not a need that was not met.
That's the difference between unequally yoked and equally yoked.
Thank you, my brother. And they didn't do it out of pride. They didn't do it out of arrogance. In fact, he goes and here in a minute, Barnabas had a piece of land he sold, he brought it to the apostles' feet and laid it down. And then there's another couple, husband and wife, that had a property and they sold it. But their heart was different. Ananias and Sapphira, right? And so their heart was different. They sold it and then they lied and said that I gave so much, this is how much I made, and I gave it all. Now, the wonderful thing is they didn't have to give any of it. Right? And even when they only gave part of it, all they had to say is, yeah, I give you this. This is my free will offering. But they lied to the Holy Spirit, and God killed them both. Long story short.
It was for show.
Yeah, it was for show.
Pride and selfishness.
Pride and selfishness. Thank you, my brother, because we're going to talk about the needing of humility to live in the unity of Christ. Right? So that pride is what killed them. The saying that they gave something more. That they wanted the attaboys. They wanted a pat on the back. Jesus said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. All right? But when you give out of a free spirit. Give out of a heart. Give out of a unity because I love you. Right? That's why we give one to another. That's why we tend to the needs. That's why we have what's called a benevolence. Our benevolence fund, and we really don't. We have one, but we really... If somebody needs something, and you're part of the church, ask. We'll take care. Right? But we don't have a benevolence fund. A lot of churches do.
Right.
Now,
I do in the accounting.
We do on the accounting thing, right? And so you got to talk to my accountant person for that. What
it's
I do know
limited.
Is... Huh?
It's not limited.
Yeah, it's not... Amen.
We
amen.
Only got this much budget.
Right. Yes. And it is for the church. It is for those... the reason that there is a benevolence fund is so if Bonnie needs something, we got the money to take care of that, right?
Which, yeah, that was a good point that Doug said. This is not communism.
Right, yeah, yes.
These are brethren.
Right.
Yes.
Who came, who were the first, the basis of their whole life, now they're Christians.
Yes.
And it's the inception of the church. They come together, they were Christians.
Yes. Communism takes what's yours
exactly.
And divides it out to other people. The
yeah.
church gives what's theirs, and the needs of the people are met. Huge difference.
From the work of their hands.
From the work of
so
their
this
hands.
This goes against the hippie movement.
Oh, come on now.
Right?
Dude.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right. It goes, that whole communal living and all that kind of stuff. This was very special and can still be very special today.
By the Holy Spirit.
Amen. It is directed. Well, it says that they came together and they prayed. That was the first thing that I caught. They had a prayer life, a coming together to pray. Right.
And what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? I don't mean that.
Yeah.
Because when that took place, it showed the reality of it. How
yeah.
real.
How real
this
it
thing
was. And look at when they prayed, the whole place was shooken.
Right.
We've had that, I think, really one time in this body. All right. We came together, and I had a sign at the front. When you walked in, nobody says anything.
It was Good Friday.
I think it was a good, yeah, it was a while. I forget exactly what it was, but we had the need to pray. And nobody said a word, but you just came and you prayed. And I tell you something, folks, there was something happened here. All right, something happened here. And it wasn't because I was up here speaking. It wasn't because anybody else said a word. It's that everybody came and they bore their heart before God. And something happened here. Amen. And it just one of those things. And I've often said, I want to recreate that. And then God said, well, you didn't create it to start with, so you can't recreate it. Recreate it means you take something you made and do it again. You didn't do this to start with, Curtis. It had nothing to do with you. Oh, the only thing you did is you obeyed me and wrote a sign on the board right here that said, don't say anything. Be quiet and pray. Right? And as we gather together, the power of God came. And the ceiling tiles didn't fall, the walls didn't push out, but this place was shooken. Right? It was shooken. Something happened. And I don't know. Well, here's what I do know. The ones who really didn't want to go any further with the teaching left. It was right after that. And as a pastor, when you're looking here and you're saying, oh, geez, we just lost four families. No, right? Well, as a pastor, you're looking at it a little bit different, right? Because you're, dude, I'm just a horrible pastor. People are leaving right and left. But it was after that prayer time. After that prayer time, God shook some things. And what could not go with us fell away.
Right.
Or fell off. I ain't saying that they fell away. I'm saying lost. Communion with God or nothing like that, but they couldn't.
As their choice.
As their
they
choice, right.
Out.
Yeah, they weren't driven out, but God knew where we were going. He knew where we were going in deception, right? He knew the teachings that were coming up. He knew how he was going to lead folks. And there are some folks that have, some people are so concreted in their religion that they can't enter into the right relationship. And that's not for me to say. And we didn't run nobody off. We didn't tell nobody that they had one guy they told like he couldn't come back. All right, but that's a different thing. All right, and if you want to know about that, come talk to me privately, and I'll explain it to you. All right, but all of those things said and done, something happened when we came together and pray, and the unity of this body. All of the schisms that day started to fall away. All of the things that wouldn't allow us to glue and really knit together kind of went away. And God started bringing this unity in this body of Christ. Not that we're any special thing, because we're not. Okay, I don't want to puff us up in our minds thinking that we're special, because we're not special, and we're going to get into that in a minute. We shouldn't think more highly of ourselves than what we ought to think. God did something. Curtis didn't do anything. You know, and that's when I said I was thinking about trying to recreate it, and the Lord really laid on my heart, you didn't create it in the first place, so you can't recreate it. And not saying that we shouldn't come together and pray, we ought to, but God hasn't really just pressed on my heart to do that again, right? Just yet. It may come in a little while, but I don't want to make it like a religion, right? It's something that the Spirit has got to guide, the Spirit's got to lead, the Spirit's got to do the work through the Word, through the truth, and to make us have this deep connecting glue that only God can produce. I can't do it in and of myself. Neither can anyone else. So they came together, they prayed, they believed by faith, they had one heart and one soul. All things were in common, and it was the witness of the resurrection. In that portion of scriptures, flip over to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to do the whole chapter. Amen. Romans chapter 12. I got a lot of Romans here. I got Philippians. I got Ephesians. And I got 15 minutes. We ain't going to get through Romans. But that's okay. I'm in no rush. This is just the beginning of this teaching of unity. And we need to know why we need to be united in the Spirit of God. Why is it so important that we have this communal church? All right? And I think I never really heard that word until Kevin told me. Didn't you call it a communal church? Congregational.
Congregational.
I said the wrong word. Congregational church. You know, where the Holy Spirit in you is just as important as the Holy Spirit in you, just important as the Holy Spirit in you, just as important as the Holy Spirit in me. Although I'm the mouthpiece, I'm the guy who gets the rock rolling, because that's what God gave me to do. But once it starts rolling, and the Holy Spirit is going through here, and He lays something on Nancy's heart, or Bill's heart, or Kevin's heart, long as it's in the Word of God, you got the right to speak. Right? You got the right to speak. Praise God for that. And the cool thing is, if you speak something that ain't in the Word of God, Joshua's in the back, and he'll stand up and say, could you please read that again? Show me where you got that in Scripture, right? That's what's different here. Okay, this is, I've never been involved in a body of Christ quite like this.
Right, right.
I really haven't. And we're peculiar.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We're peculiar. And we're not afraid to touch the hard things.
But it's all around the thing.
It's all around Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ in the Word and Jesus Christ, the Spirit.
The Spirit. Amen. So in chapter 12, I'm sure you've gotten there by now, of Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Glory to God for those two verses. All right? We come together, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed, be called out of the world and changed. Be transformed. Why? In the renewing of our mind. It is a mental renewal that makes a physical reality. I got to believe that I'm saved before I can even act like I'm saved. I got to believe that I can't, that my prayers actually touch heaven, that me and God communicate. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I have faith. When I pray, God hears me. I have faith in that. I got faith when I read the Word of God, God speaks to me. I got faith in that, and I can prove it. I can prove it by the Word, but I can prove it by my life. Amen? Because a young man I was talking to the other day, he said, well, prove it. Well,
You can prove it by the way I live. Look at my life, right? And prove it, yeah. All right,
you now talking to him is proof.
Yeah, amen. You know? And so, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man is among you, think not of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. All right? Don't be puffed up. Don't think more highly of yourself than what you ought to. It reminds me of, again, we've talked about this scripture a while back. Jesus talked about a couple guys coming into the temple. One was a publican, and he said, I praise God that I tithe even to the anus. I almost said it wrong. Lord, forgive me. And the mite. Every little bit. I tithe to everything. I'm glad I'm not like Odette. I'm glad I'm not like all these other people. Ooh, I'm so holy and mighty and aren't I good. He turned into a pirate halfway through. And so, but there's another fellow. Well, one with the Pharisee said all those things. The publican, the sinner, he didn't even lift his head up in the temple. He pounded his chest. He said, God, forgive me, a sinner. Jesus said only one of those guys got away. Made right, justified. Amen. Which one do you think it was?
The broken and contrite.
Was the broken and contrite heart. Amen. He didn't think of himself too highly. The other guy thought of himself real highly. He walked away in his self-righteousness, but no righteousness from God. Huh?
In his sin.
In his sin. Yeah. Thank you.
He never justified.
In his own mind, he was righteous because he was better than all those other people. But in the eyes of God, he was still caught, trapped in his sin. Because he wasn't humble, he wasn't broken, he wasn't contrite. Don't think of ourselves too highly than we ought to think. Remember where you came from.
Amen.
Amen. Remember who you were before Christ. Before we start casting judgment on the lost and the brokenhearted and the weary, before we start throwing stones at them, let's crawl under the boulder of Jesus Christ and have him roll over us once or twice. Fall on him and you might be broken, but when he crushes you, you'll be turned to powder. Right? So come to Jesus. Come to Jesus for a moment. In the unity of the body. So as he's talking about unity here, for as we are many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. A portion of faith, or ministering, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that soweth, showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, and cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulations. Continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Whew. Amen. Curtis, read that one. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to the men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Prove things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Rather, give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the book, the blueprint of unity in the body. First is humility. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Don't think more highly of yourselves than what you ought to think. See, that works on me. Why? Because I always think I'm better than you guys. Har har. Don't be so shocked. Right. My wife's right. Looking at me. That's not funny because it's so true. No, no, she's not. I always put words in her mouth. And then after church, she always says, I wasn't thinking that. And now, which proves my point, right?
Verse 9 says, love without dissimulation.
Thank you.
And that means it's not fake.
Thank you. Yes. It's without real. Hypocrisy.
Without hypocrisy.
I got to love you regardless. And I can't think myself, we often get this thought that I am holier than thou. I have more knowledge than you. And he says, there's different offices for different things. Jesus said, how can the hand, no, Paul wrote this, how can, 1 Corinthians, I think, how can the hand say to the foot, I have no need of thee? How can the eye say to the ear, right? Just because you're different, doesn't mean that you're not needed in the body. Where would the ears be? Where would hearing be without the ears? Where would the eyes be without seeing? Where would the feet be if they didn't walk? Right? All of the differences in the body are equally needed in the body. That's why we need to have unity. Imagine if you were telling your body to do one thing and it wouldn't do it. Stop hitting yourself. I can't stop hitting myself. Oh! Right? Well, no, you have control over that. Stop doing it.
Nancy's over there laughing. I didn't realize it was that funny. But anyway.
So, these things, God wants us to be honest with Him about them. God wants us to confess our faults one to another and to be humble and brokenhearted about it.
But see, that word is faults, not sins.
Thank you. Yes. Right. And so in that thought, in that process, go ahead and say it again for Nancy, for Bonnie. Say
the word is false, not sins.
Right.
Like when he's talking about he has a temper, he's talking about his fault.
Yes,
he's
yes.
Not telling you about the incident in which he sinned.
Right. Yes, right. Amen. So I misunderstood. I thought you said false. You're right. False.
No,
yeah. I misunderstood what you said. I had to hear that and hear it a couple times, but yes, it's
because that's what he uses.
Yeah, amen.
False,
right? And so,
when you act on your fault, that's sin.
Amen. You're drawn away.
Yeah. Your faults are your shortcomings.
My shortcomings.
But when you act on, like he said, then it's sin. He didn't say sin. Confess the sin to each other. He said confess
your
fault. Like I have a temper problem.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to tell you every time I lose.
No, huh? If you're around me when I lose my temper, I don't have to tell you. Hey, you will know it. Right, JJ?
Oh, yeah.
It happened from time to time, right? But I ain't got to tell you all the nitty-gritty details about it. What I have to say is I got this fault. I have a problem, right?
Which then gives you a reason to pray for it.
Amen. You know, and that's where the strength comes from. You pray for me. You see a need I have, you pray for that need. And if it's something that you can help physically, and you have the means to help physically, help physically. I could use a new truck. No. Again, no, I couldn't. I'm very happy with the truck I have.
Let's get us all one out of the
Amen.
Pond.
There you go. That instead of F-U-N-D, it's just F-U-N. And so it's a fund. And so, anyhow, this unity of spirit, this walking in the oneness, in humility in verse 3, right? That verse 3 that, I'm on the wrong page.
verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, think not himself more highly than what he ought to think, but think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. I can't judge your faith. God gave you the measure of faith that you have. And you can't judge me by my faith, because God gave me the measure of faith I have. My faith might be deeper than yours, or your faith might be deeper than mine. And the reason that we have deeper, different levels of faith is because of what we've walked through life with Jesus with. I really think that the faith that we have that comes from God, whether it's a lot of faith, that God's able to heal me, right? That got burned with fire. You read through Scripture that I'm not going to go to the doctor. I'm not going to be like that fellow you was telling me about.
King Asa,
right? I'm not going to be like him that goes to the physicians. I'm going to go to the physician, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to do what he says, and he's going to heal me. That's faith. Somebody else might not have that faith yet. And until you walk through the fire, until you walk through the fire, you don't realize that how God can meet you in the middle of your need until you walk with him through that need. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You don't know the comforter that Jesus is by faith until he has comforted you through a great hurt. You don't know the power of healing of Jesus by faith until you have trusted him to heal you. All right? Jesus healed me from alcoholism. I am healed. I don't even have the desire to drink anymore. Amen. When there was a time that's all I wanted to do.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. And I could say there's a list of things I could go through. The list doesn't matter. God did the work. He gets the glory. All right? So my faith in Christ Jesus is not because what I did, but it's all because of what he did. He brought me through this, and he gave me a measurement of faith. And the longer I walk with him in that faith, the deeper that measurement gets.
You are willing
to
drop the bad habit.
Yeah.
He produced it. We're told not to grieve the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Which means he wants to do something, but you're holding him back.
You're holding him back. So in those things, the measure of faith I have is different than the measure of faith you have, because you haven't lived through the life experiences that I had to walk with Jesus through. And I haven't had the life experiences that you walked with Jesus through. I have faith in Christ Jesus, not because of what he said he could do, but for what he did. Amen? We go back to that fellow who had the child that was possessed with the demon, threw him in the fire, threw him in the water, asked his disciples to heal him. They couldn't do it. He brought the child to Jesus, and he said, I have faith, but help my unbelief. I have faith, I believe, but I need to go through this. I've tried everything else. I couldn't get it. So the faith that I needed to be in unity with God, I had to go through the impossible to meet the possible. All right? And that's how I have faith. And that is through God. That's through Christ. And when I hear Tom's testimony, that increases my faith, because I see how faithful he is to Tom. When I look at how he was faithful to Moses, to David, amen, to his mother Mary, right? How God was faithful to her. And I see the faith of those folks, and it strengthens my faith.
You know what? When he didn't get healed by the apostles, he didn't give up.
No. Amen.
He went to Jesus.
He went to Jesus. The author and the finisher of our faith, which made the body stronger, which made them really, I tell you what, it doesn't say much about that man after that event, but I will guarantee you, he was changed. He was changed. His son was changed because he no longer had the devil.
Can you imagine?
You don't have to imagine. It's written in the Word. Amen?
Imagine that guy's life.
Come on.
After that.
Think of how close he held to Jesus after that. Boy, I would snuggle up next to the Lord so close that his shadow would not pass from me. I would be right on his heel. What you got, brother?
He's still healing.
Yeah, he's still healing. Amen. He's still healing today.
You have an encounter with Jesus. You're not the same either way.
Yeah, amen.
The way you're not the same. Yes. You come to him, you're not the same.
You're right. And if you choose to believe and walk with him, it makes a unity with him that's unbreakable. That's how I know that I am going to be one of these pillars.
Right.
By the grace of God. Not because of works that I did, but because I believe in the works that he is doing. I absolutely believe that he told me that I can be a pillar in the house of God and I will no longer leave that house. I believe that.
God keeps his word.
God, amen.
He keeps his word.
Even when I can't keep my word, he still keeps his word. He will hold up the end of his bargain. Amen. No doubt. No doubt about that. Now, this is not saying once confessed, always saved, but I will hold on to this. Once converted, always converted. Amen. I mean, once that thing has happened in your life, the Spirit of God, this unity, and once that conversion happens, I want to spend time with Tom and Kevin and Bonnie and Paul and Mike and Kevin and Dave. JJ, I don't have a choice.
That's when it goes from here to here.
Yeah, amen. Yes. It's from the knowledge to the heart. I want to spend time with you. You know why? Because it's the Spirit of God in you that draws me.
Right.
Yeah, and all right, we'll get into some conversations. I may not agree with peanut butter and jelly. You might like butter.
What?
And, amen. You might like jelly and peanut butter. Don't put... Who put your chocolate in my peanut butter, right? No, who put your peanut butter on my chocolate? Yeah, that type of thing. But the unity of Christ is what I really want is a oneness with him. I want to have the mindset of Christ. I want to have the desire to love the unlovely. I want to look past your sinfulness and into the saint that lives in you. I'm looking at y'all because you're on that side. I'll look at you guys because I know you're sinners. No, I'm sorry. I know you're sinners because I'm one, right? This is the beginning of the teaching of unity today. And this is just the start of it. There is a lot. When you get into Scripture and you really start looking at unity and what God expects out of us, this pillar here of love, unity, fellowship, these things, when we really get a hold of that, this body may never grow by membership. Okay? That's why we don't have members. It may never get larger by numbers. I've heard it said this way. Would you like a church that's 3 miles wide and a half inch deep?
Yep.
Or would you rather have a church that's 3 miles deep and a half inch wide?
Yeah.
Amen? I want the depth. I want the depth of God. I want that. I mean, I don't need 50,000 people. In fact,
And if you read the Scriptures, the numbers are added by God, not by men.
Not by men. Amen. God builds the church. But the ones who are in unity with Christ, with each other, they come together. They come together with oneness of mind, oneness of spirit. And we'll get into the oneness, Ephesians chapter 4, next week, because it's almost been enough.
Can I comment?
Sure you can.
A shaking?
Yeah.
I think, like what you're saying, the deeper you are, the less you will be shaken.
Yeah.
Right? And there is a shaking that's coming.
Yeah.
It's Hebrews 12 says, "See that you refuse him not that speaketh. For if they had escaped who had not refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he had promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this is the word, yet once more, that signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, and of the things that are made, of those things which cannot be shaken, may remain.
Amen.
Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God, acceptable and reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." And I want to say something too. Thank you, Amanda. That video I sent out to everybody, Tucker Carlson interviewing John Rich, and the song that comes along with it, share that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I shared it here.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't occur to me to send that to other people who are believing this pre-tribulation rapture lie.
Yeah.
Share that. Send that to a friend, a pastor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They might know.
Yeah. Because not everybody watches Tucker Carlson. I don't know why not, but they don't.
He's a searching man.
He is a searching man. Amen. And I would not, in fact, he says he's not a Christian. He doesn't believe he's a Christian.
But he wants to.
But he wants to. And if you seek him, you'll find him. Yeah. If you seek truth, you'll find. And again, if you seek unity, guess what you're going to find? Family.
He's already believing something that a lot of Christians don't.
Yeah.
He knows these UFOs are concerned with evil spirits.
Right. Well, anyhow. I tell you what, come to Sunday school. Next week, come to Sunday school. Come and be part of this conversation about deception. Right? Come and be a part of that. If you know somebody that's looking for truth, invite them to come to church. Invite them to come here and see what God's doing here. Right? Just invite them. They don't have to come if they don't want to come. I invited 4 people to church this week. Praise God. And anyhow, it's a... Yeah. Zip it, lock it, throw it away. Anyhow, I love you guys. I do love you. I want us to be united. One mind, one body, one spirit. Right? One thought, one love. Right? And we'll get into that next week, as if the Lord permits. Father, we do thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of the written word. We ask, Lord God, that you would move on us, through us, as always, leading us into this one foundation, Father, into the holy righteousness of God. Lord, and I thank you for these teachings. I thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit here. I pray, Father, I pray for unity. I pray for us to have the mind that was in Christ Jesus. Amen. That we would look for you, that we would walk worthy in the vocation in which we've been called, holy and set apart. Lord, I thank you for those things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.